Okay, let's go to Matthew. Let's keep going here. It's verse 11, Matthew 5, verse 11. Notice that 5, 10 and 11 have something to do. They have the same thing in common here. And that's about persecution. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We went over that in Sunday school that we showed that the kingdom of heaven is not our concern today. That was a concern during the times of the Jews. That's earthly kingdom. That's the ground level stuff. We see that in verse 9 that has everything to do with making peace. Peacemakers. Okay, they need to be peacemakers in this kingdom of heaven. On this earth, they need to be peacemaking people. So Christians are coming across to the fact that they need to be peacekeeping people, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't earn your way to heaven. It doesn't get you God's physical blessings because you're a peacekeeper and you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. But as they persecute you, keep the peace. Don't do anything about it. Turn the other cheek. All this kind of stuff which we talked about there last week. It says in verse 25, agree with thine adversary. Just agree with them to keep peace. That's what these Christians, that's what they had to do. It shouldn't say Christians. They weren't called Christians yet. That's what they had to do. Follow Jesus, you don't get into the rock the boat stuff. Even though they were persecuted because to follow Jesus got them persecuted because of what he taught. What was it that he taught? That he was the Son of God. They got mad at him because he was the Son of God. They didn't seem to be all that impressed that he turned all these miracles in. I mean, that was exciting to them. But they didn't stay with him very long. But what made them mad was the fact that he said he was the Son of God. They just believe that, then they're going to be persecuted. But in the meantime, keep the peace. And now look at verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. So we looked at the thing this morning in Sunday school about why do we do what we do? For whose sake? For God's sake? For Christ's sake? For your sake? For my sake? For the gospel's sake? For the people's sake? Why do we do what we do? Why did they do what they did? Why does Paul do what he did? And or what we're doing today for God's sake? Is it for His glory? If it's not, it's for ours, and that's wrong. But we see here in verse 11, it seems hard to go against this verse because you will be reviled. And you will be persecuted. You will have some suffering. And there are people who will say, they will say everything they can think of against you. Now, an interesting sidelight here, when that takes place, most of the time today, Paul warns about these are the people that are Christians, that say they're Christians, that will revile you, and they will persecute you, and they will say all manner of evil against you falsely if you preach Paul and risen Savior. If you say that we should be following Paul as he follows the risen Savior, then you will be persecuted, you will be lied about, you will be reviled. But there's more and more modern Christianity today that is not bringing reviling, it's not bringing persecution, it's not bringing anybody saying against anything evil. They're all joining into the world. They're trying to have favor with all the people. And if you have favor with all the people, you are not going to have favor with God. That's just not going to happen. That was what they were supposed to do during those days again. So, if your desire is to not have the trouble that comes with preaching Paul and Touche King James Bible Church of Touche, or me, or what I preach and teach here, or what you're trying to teach your kids, but you don't want to scare them away, and you don't want to hurt your relatives, all that stuff that's going on, if you don't want the trouble that comes with Paul, then you're going to the wrong place, because there's churches all over this county that'll teach that stuff that'll make you happy. And they're just a dime a dozen. So, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this thing, even though it's about this verse 10 and 11, these verses 10 and 11, about being persecuted and suffering, let's see what it is that Paul says about persecution and suffering. That's what we're kind of doing this morning. And if it all goes well, I got something totally different by tonight, but we'll see. Here we go. Boy, a 4-minute introduction. That's pretty good, Jimmy. I haven't done that for a long time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. You know the verse? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, and the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for which we live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, I want to make the comment about we are troubled on every side. But I was thinking as I read that thing, that if you're not troubled on every side today, it's because you are not bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. See, the Great Commission is about the dying of the Lord Jesus and the Gospels. Paul is about the life of Jesus that we're to make manifest in our body. And if we're not having trouble, if we're not troubled on every side today, then we're not doing what we should be doing. Now, are we doing this to be troubled? No. People will say the government's always had problems with corruption and stuff. Yes, but they've never talked about world order like they're talking about it today. This has never been talked like it is today. I mean, they're putting guys in the government that are foreigners, really, that are against the American way. They're talking all the time about global currency. I had somebody send me something yesterday that says we are in the new world order. It's just that they're still having to make it. Well, no, we're not, because if we will be, we won't be here. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that a Bible-believing, saved, true saved Christian will not be in the tribulation. There's no doubt about my scripture on that at all. So we're not in the new order yet. But it is as obvious as anything that that's where we're going to be any day, really. So that's troubling. It really is troubling to me. I just don't. That was supposed to be your problem, Sam and Austin, Olivia and Caitlin. That wasn't supposed to be our problem. We figured you could handle it better. But no, we're here for this thing. I'm troubled by the apostasy that's going on in Christianity. I'm troubled by the apostasy that's going on in the country, in the world. We're going perverted. We're going cannibalistic. We're going uncivilized. You know that Jesus Christ, you know that King James Bible actually civilized the world? Until that Bible came along in these countries, they knew nothing about washing their hands. They knew nothing about clothes. They knew nothing about anything. That Bible has cleaned up this world. And as they get rid of this Bible, they go back to that lifestyle. And I don't like that. I'm troubled by that. I really am. I hear pastors preaching about apostasy, and yet they're doing everything they can to get to grow. Now, if we're in apostasy because of truth, and you're growing, something's not right. And I'm troubled by these pastors that are teaching what they're teaching to these people to get them to come to church. I mean, we could change our method here. We could change our message here and get people to come here. That's not my goal. It's not my desire. It's to preach the truth. And it's troubling that everybody else is not interested. I'm troubled with that. Of course I am. I get articles all the time. I maybe read you some tonight. Articles all the time. In fact, no, I just changed that. There are articles now in the major media that are talking of Christian articles that are talking about Christians, it's your fault. Christians, you better get it together. You better make this thing fixed. We're Christians. This is our fault. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You need to be praying. You need to get everybody get together. You pray. We need to get this kingdom of heaven back to God. And that's not right. It's just not right. It's a lie. And I see these things. Now they're getting major publicity out there, and it's not true. I said before, everybody's starting to understand the problem, but their solution is still wrong. I'm troubled by that. I hear pastors all the time telling people to quit sinning and we'll fix America. No, stop sinning is not going to fix anything. It's a kingdom of heaven message. Christ taking care of sin, and then you living to please the risen Savior in a rightly divided Bible would fix this world. But we know it's not going to, because of the world order and devil and Antichrist. We know that. So, am I troubled about apostasy? I'm not troubled about apostasy, which is a falling away. I'm troubled by what people are preaching to deal with it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I am troubled by the fact that there are few men anymore that really want to get up and fight. That's troubling to me. Now remember, Paul says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I'm close to being distressed. This stuff troubles me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Looking at this last night, thinking, there's more in this than I've ever preached before here. There, verse 1. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There's our strength is in His grace. Is that right? We're in chapter 2, okay. And the things which thou hast heard of me, that's Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I'm troubled that there are not many men left in this country that are going to take what Paul teaches, a risen Christ, and take it to somebody else. I'm bothered by that. I'm troubled by that. But now look at it. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't think we want to endure hardness. Gets better than that. Verse 4. No man that warreth what? With Paul's teaching, with what Paul wants us to say, what the risen Savior wants us to do, that's a war. It's a spiritual war, Ephesians chapter 6. And it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That's telling me that the reason men today don't want to get going on this Paul stuff is because they're entangled in the affairs of this life. I know we have to work, we have jobs. I'm not saying that. We are so caught up in that stuff that we are not able to fight what really needs to be fought. I'm troubled by this stuff. You can't do it. And if you're not caught up in the affairs of this life, your wife is. And so if you want to keep a happy wife and a happy family, then you are as good as caught up in the affairs of this life. That's what's going on. I'm troubled by that. Now relax. I'm guilty. But I'm troubled by it. So the title of the sermon this morning, for those that like to do titles, is Are You Properly Troubled? I know we're all troubled. I mean, I can tell. We're all troubled. We ought to be troubled. But there's people out there in this world that are troubled by what's going on in this world. They know something's not right. Was it Zimbabwe or one of those countries over there that they have money, 200 million, whatever they have, for a piece of bread? Because inflation has just gone, it's just exploded. So you got to have gazillion monies to buy anything. Well, are we headed that way? Well, yeah, duh. is it going to get to that point? People are troubled. They don't even know what to do about it anymore. If they make any kind of a group effort, they'll be shot. It's getting to that point. But see, that's kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God, it's a whole different war. And if we get caught up in this stuff, and we need to deal with it, but if we get caught up into it, entangled means you're involved and you're entangled in it, then you can't fight for what Paul wants us to talk about. And you're not going to change your family. You're not going to change yourself. You're not going to tell anybody else about it. That's what an unfaithful man is. Because it says, commit thou to a faithful man who shall be able to teach others also. That needs to be done. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Here's another troubling thing. So yes, we're troubled on every side. Now we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. And listen, as this country falls apart, it's going to be harder and harder for a man to be able to deal with what he needs to deal with spiritually, because we're going to be hanging by our threads trying to provide for the family. And shipping your wife off to the world and to make them blaspheme the Word of God is not the solution. Anyway, but we're troubled by that stuff. And I know there's people that are working and you're in it, and that's where we are today, God's grace, and that's what it is. That's our strength, is God's grace. But now, 2 Corinthians 7:5, he says, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. He was bothered. But we were troubled on every side. Now what's the problem? Well, without were fightings, within were fears. So it goes into this area, and what's going on? Man, there's fear within everybody. What's going on here? And there's fightings out there. And we know all about that. We've got fear from within. We've got people that have left. We've got people that are quitting. We've got people that are passing rumors. We've got people that are angry. And we've got people that have been here before. We know what's going on out there towards us and the website and different people. We're considered a cult. Jason's out there, and Clarence is out there, and Fred and Sam and all these guys and people. I mean, it's just the weirdest thing. They talk about Paul with these people, and some of these pastors say, you're not listening to that church down there in Tushy, are you? Well, where'd they hear about that? Man, we are world famous. We really are. I mean, this little place down here is world famous. Isn't that amazing? Now, either they love us or they hate us. Yeah. And Paul's troubled about that. I'm troubled about that too. These people are being lied to in their churches, and we got the authority of the Bible. We're not even a Baptist church. We're just a Bible-believing church, rightly divided, just like that Bible says. And it tells us what the risen Savior has done. And it's more than just put a check mark by your name that says you're saved. No, he's wiped out your sins. He has taken care of the law, so there's no sin to be imputed, and he won't impute it. He gives us his clean record. Now, who's teaching that? But it's in here. And you can tell it's not stuff. Here we go. I'm winging here. Here's what they're teaching everybody today in the churches. And here's what the risen Savior says they're to teach to us. Everything there is for us. History, or future tribulation. This is right here to us. You know what everybody's teaching? They're teaching all this and they're ignoring this. That makes us a cult. That makes us liars. No, that makes the Bible a lie. Oh, wait a minute. There's 300 different Bibles out there now. Well, no wonder they don't believe this thing anymore. Their pastors have them reading Bibles that don't even say this. You get a Message Bible, you got yourself a dirty book. A sexually dirty book. And that's put out by Rick Warren and all the biggest crowd right now that's out there in a group. They change every couple of years because they can't keep things going. And it's the Message Bible. Billy Graham's organization puts forth the Message Bible. It used to be a Good News Bible for modern man. Now they support the Message Bible. That is a pornographic piece of trash, let alone spiritual lies. But we got our own fightings and fears within our own church. We're sitting here this morning. There's people here this morning that are so concerned about stuff. Their family, their friends, their even their own self. I mean, is this really right? Can this guy possibly be right? No, this guy's not right. This is. If you're going to not read this thing, you're going to have fears. And Jason has come, these guys out there have come across the fact that they can tell people about Paul and the guys get excited. Oh, I never heard that before, brother. That's pretty good. And he goes, talks to his missionary friend. And his missionary friend goes, no. This is what Jesus says. And the guy goes, oh yeah, wow, that's neat. Yeah, brother Jason. No. This is what Paul preaches about the risen. You know what this guy's problem is? He's never read the thing himself. He's going from teacher to teacher to teacher, never reading the book himself. A faithful man will read his Bible, he'll rightly divide that thing, and he'll do with what God has told him to do. Not what the pastor says to do, what the Bible says to do. Rightly divide it. And there's problems with that stuff. We still got Tobias out there talking to people in here. What is this? I got the rest of the paragraph online for the website people, and not for you. You want to hear it? Tobias still has his friends here, and they actually still feel bad about them. Like it's my fault or something. No, they just think I hate women. No, just the loud, immodest, out of the home, honorable and devout in their own minds women. I'm accused of pointing, aiming, and shooting with my preaching. Hey, if you see a deer, if you see a skunk and a bunch of deer, what are you going to get your shotgun out? No, you get out your little scope thing, right? And you go for the skunk. That's how you hunt. I learned that. I'm told I'm too long, too fast, too much to do in the sermons, whatever. That's on there too for everybody, because now I don't feel so bad, because what if they see that page? I'm in trouble. Let's go to Galatians 1:7. What else we got? What else are we troubled about? Well, we're troubled about on every side. There's everything. There's just nothing going right in this country. There's nothing going right hardly anywhere. Man, I mean, there's just nothing going right. You get some kind of a sickness, and you got to call the insurance company to see if you can get the pills or not. Like, what do they know? And they'll deny the pills to a lot of people. We know that story. No, I think you need to die. You don't need to die, but you need to die. You need to die, but suffering. And this is nothing right. It's just amazing. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Which is not another. Somebody gospel here. But there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. So we're troubled because of the perverting of the gospel of Christ. We're troubled by that. So we have here reasons to be troubled. The world's falling apart. Apostasy is everywhere. People are denying it. We got stuff going on within our own church that's disturbing. We got stuff going on outside the church that's disturbing. We got stuff outside the church trying to get in here that's disturbing. We got stuff, believe it or not, that's in here trying to get out there that's disturbing. You know, it's just disturbing. It's troubling. And now we got this perverted gospel of Christ. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, he warns about philosophy and vain deceit. Traditions of men, rudiments of the world. That's called education. There's an education out there that will destroy your Bible. I'm not talking about worldly colleges. I'm talking about the Christian colleges. It will destroy your Bible. The world itself, well, we know that. They're not after Christ. We see that in Ephesians 4 that there's people that'll walk in the vanity of their mind like a lost person. They know. They've been to college. They got the degree. They've got life experience. They got their brain. They got the vanity of their mind. And we know what Paul says about that. Ephesians chapter 4. We got something that's not rightly divided is profane and vain babblings. So these are perverted gospels. That's perverted. And that increases unto more ungodliness. That's troubling to me. That's troubling. Of course it's troubling to us. We have family and friends that are caught up in this stuff. Another perverted gospel is prosperity, money. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. We've got people here that are not happy unless they got some of this new stuff. I mean, you're miserable after about a month. You got to buy something. Here we go again. Now we got this machine where you can play tennis in your own house. You know? Then you throw yourself across the living room because you went diving for the thing. And if you could ever watch yourself, you'd look just like a goon. An immodest goon, if it's the ladies doing in front of their kids. What is it? Go out and play tennis. Do some. No wonder we're looking like we're looking. But we got healthy wrists. Even my wrist is hurting lately. It's amazing what's going on. Riches get us that stuff. I bet you someday, Jimmy, you can buy a video and put it in this, and then they call it a Wii machine right away. It's wrong. Just the Wii is wrong. And then it's made in China. And we're buying all this stuff from, oh gosh, people were so stupid. But I bet you get a program, you can have a forest fire on that thing. And you can have a little thing here that's like a pretend hose. And you can do your own forest fires at home. Probably have a shovel. Okay, shovel. Shovel, okay. And your recliner, you can do this, Jimmy. Isn't that a whole lot easier? Skip going to the club. You can probably get a club on this thing. Okay. Oh, yeah. You can all sorts of things with this thing. You know, it's just crazy. And you're going to pay money for this. Get out and do the real thing. We have Christianity. I got a Bible. Do you read it? No, don't need to read it. God tells me. Go to the street corner. You. Oh, that's just crazy. It's all fake. Okay. David had wee Christianity one time, and remember the story? Put Scorby under his pillow and go to sleep at night listening to Scorby reading his Bible? David. And at high speed yet, too. In the beginning, God created heaven. David, what is this? Well, Dad, I thought if I listened to it, I could get a lot in, and I would just kind of go in and, yeah, right on through. Just amazing. That's wee Christianity. He invented wee Christianity. Oh, congratulations, David. Oh, anyway. Paul warns in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 9 verses on this thing about modern Christianity. Form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's nothing there. We get into 2 Timothy 2:16, where again we got false teachings from wrong and profane and vain babblings. We get into 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We get into the fact that the Scriptures are corrupted. The Word of God is corrupted. We get into 1 Timothy chapter 4. He warns about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, man, it's troubling what's happening because they've taken the Word of God away from people. Religion has become more important, yet it's just worse than it's ever been. We're troubled by that stuff. Things are troubling. Now, if we don't want to be troubled, then we need to skip what's true. Get out there and play with the world, and we'll be fine. Look here at what we got here? Let's look here at Timothy. Here, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here we go. You don't want your kids to suffer. Here, kids, go buy this and be happy with this and look like this and have everything this. You don't want our kids to suffer. Not like us. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3, sorry. Verse 12. Now, I don't think Paul is starting off like it appears. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to 2 Timothy 3:12. I don't think he's starting off with the word yay like we kind of think it would be. Yay! You know what I'm saying? He's not happy about this. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's the way. Now, we've come to realize that godly does not mean long hair, short hair, all that kind of talk. You know, lipstick, no lipstick. That's not what he's talking about there. The teaching of true Christianity. Won't get into that. But he says, if you're going to do what Paul teaches you from the risen Savior, you're going to suffer persecution. You are. Yea, you will. Now, so what does Paul say about that? Jesus talked about that to his disciples and to his people. You know, and if you do, you can have the kingdom of heaven. We don't want the kingdom of heaven. And Paul never talks about kingdom of heaven, by the way. Never. In fact, kingdom of heaven is only in the book of Matthew. That's it. Gospels. Right there, it tells me something. Okay, so we're going to suffer persecution. Now, it's interesting. It might not have to be physical persecution, though. Well, if it's not a physical kingdom we're after, does it have to be physical persecution? I never thought about that. Well, let's think about that. Let's go here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, let's just look at some quick verses about what Paul says about suffering, and that's all we'll do this morning. If I made you mad, it's probably just me. Now it's going to be God again. Don't look at scriptures here. Troubled on every side, troubled within, troubled without, perverted gospel, crazy stuff all over the place. But we're going to be suffering because of truth. Is that what it is? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Talking again about some persecution here. He says it's a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Just a token. And here he says that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. So if we're going to suffer properly, it's going to be for the kingdom of God, not for the kingdom of heaven. Because we're suffering for which means the kingdom of God. That's the spiritual kingdom. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Second, 1 Timothy chapter 4. For therefore, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. Now, Paul's thing in Acts chapter 26, verse 18 is the fact that he will show us how to turn from the devil, turn from Satan, the darkness, turn to light, and turn into a living God. So, if we trust in the living God, which we say we do, and then you listen to what the living God has to say to you specifically, through Paul's teachings, and put that other verse together, that if you live the way Christ has taught us through Paul, then he says right here, you will labor and suffer reproach. I mean, that's a fact. And we don't want to. We really don't want to. I think that most of our troubling, we're troubled that's going on out there. Sure, we're troubled with that stuff. I'm really troubled by that stuff. I'm troubled by the stuff that's going on here, out there. I'm troubled by that. Yes, I am. I am bothered greatly by the perverted gospels and the things that are being taught in the churches and in the streets and in the homes. And I'm troubled by that. No doubt. But I really don't like to suffer reproach. And that's what's going to happen. Just because I believe Paul to be our apostle, and he's going to teach me what the risen Savior taught to him to teach to me, to teach to you. And then you're going to teach it to somebody else. That's the trouble we're going to have. Now, anything else is just nothing. That's the trouble. Now, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because here's why. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead. We believe that. Just about any Christian out there believes that. according to my gospel. That's Paul. When Paul says my gospel, he's talking about his gospel, his teachings. We learn about that from Paul. You don't learn about all the stuff that the risen Savior did in the Gospels. You learn that He died in the Gospels. You learn that He rose again in the Gospels. You learn that He went and talked to these people. And we learn that in the Gospels. You do not learn anything about the risen Savior, what He's done to us, not just for us, but to us, except in Paul's teachings. That's my gospel. That's Paul. And he said, let's read it again. Remember, Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Then he has the word, wherein I suffer trouble. He suffers trouble because he preaches that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he's teaching what he's teaching to Paul to teach to us. This is why Paul is suffering that trouble. And it says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Now, come on. Can you imagine me? I mean, come on. Look at me. I'm teaching people that Jesus Christ died and He rose again. And I'm teaching that He was God and still is. He was God on this earth. He was God manifest in the flesh. And when he was on this earth, He didn't sin. He did everything the way it was supposed to be done, and He was tempted. He fought the whole thing all the time. And He came back to see everybody to prove that He had died and rose again. I teach that. Well, we all teach. No, I go beyond that. I will teach that He went to Paul and told Paul, listen, you Christian hater, persecutor, killer, I'm blinding you because I want you to do something for me. I want you to go out there and be the one apostle. I'm going to teach you everything I want you to teach to the Gentiles. And the Jews can learn it too, but right now I got them off on the shelf. And they can learn it if they want, but they're blind. And all these Gentiles have to do is believe and trust, and I'll take care of them. Spiritually, of course. They may get cancer. They're going to have hard times. They're going to lose their jobs. They're going to live in this crooked and perverted world. Well, while they're doing that, I'm going to fix them up. I'm going to take their soul and keep it away from their flesh. I'm going to go into them. I teach that. Isn't that weird? I teach that Jesus Christ says that in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, I think it is, that He took care of the law. Now the law doesn't exist to say that that's wrong. And people go, oh, no, that's weird. No, that's Scripture. Yes, it's crazy. That's why you're not God. We wouldn't do this. But He's got so much He loves you and us that He would do that. Then He says, and by the way, I will give you all my grace, but here's what I want you to try to do. I want you to try to learn to live this way now. Oh, by the way, you're going to get persecuted for it. You're going to suffer for it. And there's reasons why, which Paul tells us. We'll see some here in a couple minutes. And that's what I teach. And that makes me an evildoer. That makes me a cult leader. That makes you cultic, following a cult leader. He's got a gun in the pulpit. That's because there's people in this kingdom of heaven that don't like people that preach the kingdom of God, and they try to shoot them. I hope to shoot first. That's all. God protect you? Yeah, He showed me how to get this gun. You know, I mean, really. Why doesn't God keep the fires from burning? Well, He gave us firefighters. He also gave people that are perverted and weird going around lighting forest fires to burn down America, which is going to happen. You can't stop them all eventually. I mean, this is the world we live in. And Paul suffered as an evildoer because he taught that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to what Paul has to say. And he even says, I even went to jail over that thing. That I don't want. Not interested. But the word of God is not bound. That's what he says in that verse. Okay, so this suffering thing, this comes with the territory. It just does. Sorry. How many of your family's thrilled about it? We don't move, do we? Because our family's not thrilled about it. We have not had a Kool-Aid party yet. Haven't had many parties yet. I'm too excited about this stuff. Everything else is kingdom of heaven, whatever. Anybody got people in your family that don't buy this? I do. Do you? It hurts. But it's what we have to do. It's who we have to be. How many have some ladies doing some things that you can't stop them from doing, and that's okay, got God's grace. How many men aren't being the men they need to be? Well, okay, we got God's grace. We can still learn. We've still got time. We've even still got freedom to do these things. We've got a guy out there that all these guys left the church, going to start their own church. And now this guy, one of them, is preaching Paul now. So now that crew is stirred. They're starting to get it. Not all of them. One of them is a musical family. And they're excited. But they haven't heard it all yet. There's going to be some suffering there. They're not going to like it. Why not? It's a spiritual thing. What do you think about it? You're troubled. Should it rob us of our joy? No. It kind of puts a stink on our happiness, though. Happiness makes our flesh. It's a fleshy thing. Our happiness, our flesh is not happy. But there ought to be a joy there. Yet what did Paul have? Tears. All the time. What did Paul tell us to do? Despise what's wrong? Destroy the magnificence of what people are being suckered into? And if we just do that, we're troubled because there goes our people. There goes our family. There goes our friends. There goes everybody just about. We got grace. We got mercy. We got long-suffering. We got patience. We got prayer. We got tears. Got to reprove. Got to rebuke. If it really gets rough, get away from it all. If it really gets rough, ship them off to the world. That's what Paul teaches. We're going to suffer during that. We're not going to get away from suffering, persecution, and reproach. We're not going to get away from it. If you do, you're not doing what God would have you do. Now, let's look at a bunch of verses. Have we got time? We got time? I think we got time. I know we got time. Let's go here to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I really believe the reason a lot of people don't want to do Paul is because Paul expects a change in your life. And Jesus doesn't really teach that in the Gospels, really. He doesn't really teach that. You've got to follow Him. You've got to get rid of everything you got and all that kind of stuff. That's rough. But Paul tells us how to change our life. Who wants to do that? You legalist? Not at all. There's no legalism in Paul. What's spirit of liberty of Christ? There's no legalism. There's no bondage there whatsoever. Zero zilch. But there are some strings attached. But it doesn't affect your salvation. It doesn't even affect anything other than it's a testimony. All things are lawful. Do you know what that means? All things are lawful. Can you imagine what happened in the state of Washington if Governor Guigelgary up there said, Hey, all things are lawful. Get rid of the laws. Poof. Man, I'll tell you what would happen. Chaos. What's happening in Christianity? Chaos. Because they think God just loves everybody. Everything is just fine, hunky-dory. No, God's got some standards yet. God's got some teachings. Just doesn't affect your Christianity. We don't have to do these things to be saved. We don't have to repent and change our lives in order to get God. We get God, and you'll change. But that's where the reproach comes in, the suffering. Anyway. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ to believe on Him. Yes. I'm happy about that. That is, don't we? We believe on Him. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. This is King James, I forget. There's still stuff in here. Not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. That's a fact. Well, we're suffering because of the economy. We're suffering because of the government regulations. You probably got all the cow's history stuck in their ear now, right? Or some little chip. Have you had to do that yet? Not yet? Not that the cows have a whole lot of history, but they got to put all the... He's coming, all the stuff, you know, but I don't know much about that. It's cost a lot of money to buy something. It costs... you got to get permission to do a lot of things now, and you got to get a permit to do this, got to get a permit to do that. We're bothered by that stuff. Something fierce. But to live for the risen Savior, following Paul, change your life, change how you dress. Men, stand up and talk. Women, sit down and don't talk. I thought that would be a good one. You know, in the proper manner, you got your place. We all have our place. For God to put us in our place hurts. But that's okay. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. This one hurts us a little bit. He says in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord." And then he says, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things." See, now we haven't done that yet. Listen, what have we lost by coming to this church and by believing what you believe and reading your Bible now that suddenly makes sense? And we learn some things based on what we understand in the Bible, not by Baptist church teachings and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. What have we lost? Have we lost all things? We're hanging on. What's some kind of a phrase? You know, we're hanging on like a like a what? There we go. We're hanging on to this stuff like a flea on its favorite dog. I wish I was from the South more than I am. Just south of South Dakota just doesn't do it. But that's what we're hanging on to stuff, and we're miserable. And we don't. Paul says, "Listen, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung." We'll stick with that word. Dung. Somebody thinks of this stuff that he's lost. I'm guilty. What is it? Why is it he's losing it? Because of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Do you know what people are learning out there and right here, if you read this rightly divided Bible? You are learning the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. We had a religion before. Now we have found the living God. And we still have yet to have lost everything. Paul suffered the loss of all things. It doesn't matter to him. It's just a bunch of dung to him anyway. Let's look here at Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Philippians 4, 12. Philippians 4, I've got to move along. Philippians 4, 12. "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound." There's that King James, by the way. You notice that? Abased and abound, all the word thing. That is marvelous stuff. Anyway, "I know how to be abased. I don't know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry." Boy, we've sort of been hungry. Nah, I don't remember ever being hungry. You were hungry back in those days, I bet. You were hungry. Rough days. "But we know how to be full." Oh, do we know how to be full? "Both to abound and to suffer need." My family, we suffered need before, but nothing like ever we thought it was at the time, really. But we're going to suffer for need here more and more and more. I don't believe we're going to go through the tribulation, but as it gets closer and closer, things are going to get rougher. But it says, Paul had to learn how to abound and to suffer need. Let's look at Romans 8:17. Is this fun? I mean, we're learning that if we're going to be a Paul following, risen Savior following through Paul, rightly dividing the King James Bible type of a Christian, we're going to be considered a cult. Oh, we already are. We're going to lose our friends. Oh, we already have. We're going to lose our family. Oh, already have. We're going to struggle with this world because we're going to know what's going on because of this Bible more and more and more, and they're not going to care. That's going to be frustrating. It's terrible. Isn't this exciting? This is exciting. He says in Romans 8:17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him." Oh, there's that "if we suffer with Him" thing again. I wonder if these new Bibles don't say that. Maybe I can find a different Bible that won't say that. Then we can be all right. No, it says, "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Listen, kids, if you want to have if you want to have my kind of cooking, kids, you got to take the garbage out so we can put more junk in it that we fit. I'll make these kind of dinners, but you know, in order to enjoy them, we got to get rid of this junk. It's just the same thing. And you know, here's a bunny trail thought, official bunny trail thought. We're joint heirs with Christ, not joint heirs with Jews. See what I'm saying?
we find ourselves, I hear just people talking all the time, well, you know, we're
joint heirs, and so we get to share the inheritance and this kind of stuff. Yeah, with the Jews, yeah, that's true. But we're not joint heirs with the Jews. Ephesians chapter 2, sure, he puts us together. Yes, together to who? To him. He's not making us, we're spiritual Jew. Romans chapter 4, Abraham is our father or such. Yes, I understand all that. But we are joint heirs with Christ. He has to bring them to him too, as well as us to him. Does that make sense? Just kind of a quick, okay, bunny trail over with. We're joint heirs with Christ, not joint heirs with Jews. They got to do some changing around too. That's what the tribulation is all about. Okay, anyway. I guess I say that because a lot of Seventh-day Adventists, for example, different people out there believe that, we're a spiritual Jew. They wish to do what the Jews do. You ever heard that? So that's why we study the Gospels. We're a spiritual Jew. We should study what Jews were taught. Crazy. But they've been taught there by their pastor who's got the degrees and the swabby suits and the nice cars and all this kind of stuff. Let's keep going here. There's many things I'm trying to just kind of decipher just a little bit here. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:12. There's one. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:12. 1 Corinthians, who's on there, Sam? Still the same crew? Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:12. And there's context here, but let's just look at this one verse here. If others be partakers of this power over you, or not we rather. The power struggle thing. 1 Corinthians 9:12. But then he says this, nevertheless, we have not used this power. I mean, these guys had the power to do all, they had the power there over them, but they wouldn't do it. It says, they suffer all things. See, isn't that good? These guys could have done things in these people's lives by being the power in their life. It's like everybody out there preaches, pastoral authority, all this kind of stuff. And they actually had it in them to do that. I mean, they had the spiritual power in them to do that, have that kind of power. But they said no. It says, they suffer all things. And if they didn't, what would happen? The gospel of Christ would be hindered. Oh, this one hurts. Listen, this verse hurts. We don't want to suffer by believing Paul, saying no in our homes, get rid of junk that we shouldn't be watching because it's evil communication, corrupt good manners. You know what this thing is? That's evil communications too. All that kind of junk. Anyway. If we don't want to suffer like that, by saying no to stuff, putting clothes on, sipping our lips, men being the men they should be, that is it, all the long list, then you're going to hinder the gospel of Christ. Is that what that says? Am I privately interpreting something here? It says, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. If these guys would have used the power in them to not suffer, but teach suffering. You'll suffer, but we're not going to, but you will. That's hindered the gospel of Christ. So if we tell our children and our friends and our families that, oh no, we still live a happy life. I mean, yes, oh yes, we got all the stuff. You're hindering the gospel of Christ. That's the risen Savior. The things that we want to teach people about the risen Savior, we can hinder because we don't take the suffering that goes with it. I'm not looking for any special reason, LD. It's just that you're the safe one to look at. LD's getting a personal sermon here this morning because I don't know where else to look. But listen, we need to suffer. Now, we don't need to go out and suffer on purpose to suffer. But if we just make the decisions that need to be made, even just a few of them, who's perfect, right? I mean, not looking for perfection. It's just a nice desire. But as we grow, we need to grow and learn in this stuff. One of the things he says in Philippians, look at Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 1. One of the things he says that we're supposed to be learning is approving things that are excellent. Chapter 1 of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. 10 and 11. Approve things that are excellent. We're supposed to abound. We're going to grow and learn more and more knowledge and in judgment. And when we learn something, and we know it's not right, and we do it anyway, we're hindering the gospel of Christ. Phew, that's a crummy verse. I don't want that verse in there any longer. I'll find a Bible that doesn't have that in there. Can't do that. This is what God says. So here we are. We got these people teaching that if you're not getting along with your wife and husband thing, then your prayers are hindered. You ever heard that? We talked about that. That's another gospel teaching. What does Paul say can hinder stuff? The fact that we don't want to suffer. It's going to suffer to get rid of this. It's going to suffer not to do this. We're going to suffer by da-da-da-da. This church suffers because we don't have the money coming in. I can't get Jason to send me the $23,000. What a stingy man he is, you know. And we can't fix our stove down there because we need $23,000 to fix that button on that thing. So, you know, that's stinginess to the max. So if he gets rid of that, no, we're going to suffer. We're suffering here because we don't have the big crowds coming in. I had some tar on the front window of the van the other day. Where'd the tar come from? The roof. Our roof is blowing away. Well, we're not going to fix this roof unless we have enough money. Jason, $23,000 would probably give us even a steel roof. But that's okay. No, our church is suffering because we preach Paul like we preach it. No, it's suffering because of you. No, it's not suffering because of me. Get off of that. Quit listening to people. It's suffering because it's not a doctrinal problem. Yes, it is. What Paul does and tells us to do is doctrine. So yeah, it's doctrinal problems. We're suffering because we preach Paul here. When I leave, you can preach anybody you want. And you'll probably get more people. And it'll be because I left. No, it won't. It's because you quit preaching about Paul. If that happens. Let's keep going here. That's a big... Well, mark that. 1 Corinthians 9:12. That maybe the reason people aren't getting what you're trying to teach them is because you're not suffering. Willing to do what has to do to say no to this stuff. That's a good one. That hurts. Well, let's look at another one here. This isn't as fun either, but let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at another one here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's 53 minutes. We can wrap this thing up in about an hour. More. 1 Corinthians 12, 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Okay, so don't think you're by yourself in this, by the way. All the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice. Well, if you knew, and I don't know how to do this, if you saw what was going on in some of the families out in our web family out there, we've got like 100 or so that are reading this stuff all the time, and the battles they're having, the rejoicings, the challenges they're having, you would rejoice with them and you would suffer with them. John's starting a church next Sunday, somewhere in Illinois, John McCord, they're starting a church based on this stuff. He wants to do something. I got to start a church. They're renting a little room in a hotel in a little motel thingy dingy there, and you're gonna try it for a while. Well, you know what goes along with that? That's hard. That's a challenging thing. Get your kids watching you. All sorts of stuff there. You would rejoice, and if it doesn't work, and they're hurt and they're upset, so will we be. We should be. We got one guy out there trying to get these other guys to get it, and there's a huge benefit that could come out of that if it all works. Huge benefit. So we rejoice with that. But they're suffering now. I mean, right away they got hit and hammered. Well, if we knew that, you would be feeling for them as well. So I know, I don't know how to tell you that. But there's things going on out there that makes what we're fighting here grade school. So don't think you've got the worst suffering situation. You think it's rough with your husband and your kids and blah, 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 or your neighbors or your friends, your relatives? No, 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 no. What I know going on in our church family out there is we're nothing. We don't have anything to sweat out. Too much. We got some hard cases here. It's hard stuff. But there's a lot going out there. So when he says, when one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, we have some suffering going on out there that I don't know how to keep you up to date on all this stuff. But it's hard. It's hard out there. Some tough stuff. Let's look at some more here. Let's look here at what about that? Well, we know about that. And this, okay. Ooh, the website just heard that. We did that one already. There's just so many things. I don't want to get them all. Let's go here to First Thessalonians chapter 2. There we go. There's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Yep, this is a good one. I like this verse. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi. So they had some rough days, haven't they? I mean, they've been shamefully entreated. They'd suffered before. And then he says, you know, after that we had suffered before. He says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. They had been shamed. They had suffered. They've had it rough. And what do? They're still bold. Doesn't mean they're loud. Doesn't mean they're obnoxious. Doesn't mean they're arrogant. It just says that they were bold to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Show people anyway. You ever feel like quitting? I have felt like it. Have you ever felt like quitting? I have felt like, do you care that I felt like quitting? I'm not quitting this stuff. I like preaching this stuff. I like teaching this stuff. What are my sufferings? Well, none of your business, but they're serious. What are your sufferings? Well, none of your business. Anybody else's business but your suffering. But don't quit. After that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. Pastor, you just don't know how bad that shamefully entreated thing is. They won't talk to me anymore. And they're telling bad things about me. You know, it's okay. Be bold. There's going to be contention. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. We told you. Even as it came to pass. And ye know. You know it. We know what's going to happen if we step our foot down on this stuff. We know we're going to run out of money someday. Why is that? Nobody's going to pay money to hear this stuff. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know where this is headed. You know when apostasy is apostasy, it's not going to bounce back. You know America's not going to fix this thing. I mean, we voted for the guy and everybody still likes him. And if he goes, then this other guy's there. And if he goes, she's there. There's no hope. Well, in 4 years, elect a new guy. I don't think we'll be here in 4 years, at least outside the jail, if we keep preaching what we're preaching. Some of you folks that die, that's totally unfair. Don't think I'll be happy if I get a phone call. Well, LD died last night. Well, what's the deal with that? I got to go talk to him really quick. I will put your glasses crooked on your body while you're laying there, LD. I'll do something that'll embarrass you. You can't do that. Lewis, little leg pain. Come on, put up with it. You got to hang in here with us. You have no idea what your amens meant to me at Vonna's funeral, by the way. I mean, when you got the support there, we need that. So nobody go dying off on us for a while yet. Okay. Now watch me be the one that goes. I'm done. Oh, well. What are we doing? 2 Timothy 1:12? Okay. Thank you, Goldie. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Right? Okay. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Oh, okay, good. For I know whom I believe. I got to do it the way we sing it. Now, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Isn't that the power of music, by the way? That shows what you can do with music. Anyway. I'm not ashamed. Still hurts though, doesn't it? Okay. Well, let me think. I think we pretty much. I think we got them all. For now, because I got more stuff tonight that's I'm just itching for tonight here. We got that, we got that, we got that. We got one more here. Let's go here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and then we'll be done. Wow, really? For those out in the website world, you recognize that our numbers and our sermons are longer, but that's because we include the singing now. Sermons haven't changed any. We just include the singing on there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll finish this right here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is what we need to be here as well. We need to be rested amongst all this stuff. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, so you who are troubled, rest with us at Touche Baptist, no, at King James Bible Church of Touche. Rest with us, because can you see we are in a rest mode? We're stressed. We're troubled. We don't like what we see going on around us. We don't like what we see going on within us, without us, and we have our own sufferings within our own little circles. It's so hard. But this stuff is so right. And there is such deception going on out in this country, in the churches, in the pulpits, because they just don't rightly divide this Bible. It's not teachings, it's what that Bible says. I want somebody to get this. I'm just in a war mode for some folks to get this. I don't understand it all yet. I have not landed. Neither had Paul. Right? He's not yet attained, he said. But he says, there's one thing I know. I'm going to forget about what's in the past, and I'm going to head for the future. Well, I got a few things I'm going to hang on to. I'm heading for the future. I got a few things I want to hang on to. I'm hanging on to a lot of stuff, and that's why we're so miserable. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them, Revelation 19, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the risen Savior when he says Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. That's us. Because he says in parentheses, because our testimony among you was believed. That's Paul teaching us Gentiles that that's what we believe. In that day, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. See, there's part two of this. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, yes, but we need to live a life that's worthy of being one of his children. That's our challenge. That's where the suffering comes. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Not ours, but his goodness, and the work of faith with power. Not our faith, but his faith. What he would have us do, Galatians chapter 2, that's his faith that we're living on. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the risen Savior again, may be glorified in you, not the earthly Jesus that we have to follow footsteps and try to imitate, that's not teachings today, but the risen Savior be glorified in you, and ye in him, even though we'll suffer because of that, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, if it wasn't for that grace, we wouldn't be doing very well. But we're trying. We're trying. If we try, we're going to suffer. Those guys out in the world, on the web family out there that are trying, they're suffering. So are we. But don't let it get you down. There you are. There's their response to the Beatitudes about suffering, persecution. They suffered persecution to have what's down here. We're supposed to suffer persecution because of what we have up there in the spiritual world. Paul says in Ephesians that Christ gives us spiritual blessings, not physical blessings. Okay, we'll talk about that and some more stuff tonight. I hope you can come back.